Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within on what the future of AI should be. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman. From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing, the chaos that followed, and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world. Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts, with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.
Get one of the most successful broadcasts in television history on your schedule with the 60 Minutes podcast. Hard-hitting investigative reports, news, and culture maker interviews, and in-depth profiles are waiting for you in every episode. Listen to 60 Minutes every Sunday wherever you get your podcasts.
Anyway, a little mic thump there as we get going. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. It is Thursday. This is Make Me Smart. Thank you very much for coming. Together, trying to make the day make sense. Kimberly Adams is in today. Molly's off because she's doing stuff. So that's where we are.
Yeah, it's been so long since we last chatted. A whole, 48 hours. And thank you for choosing that the time to bring me back is hollowed out shell of a Thursday.
Well, we like to be consistent around here. You need your sweet spots. We are going to do what we do, a little news, a little lightheartedness on the way out, and then we will be on our way, as it were. But I guess you can be on your way, too. I don't know.
People could be on their way while listening to this, because podcasts.
They can. That's the beauty of podcasts. That's right.
Yes.
It's funny. So I have to get out of the studio every day to do a show because my home internet is terrible. And so my listening habits, which were skewed from March to August, and then when the kids went back to school, my home internet went kerflooey. I've been back in the old listening patterns, and it's weird. It's very bizarre. It's very bizarre.
Yeah, I would think that, not to inflate your ego or anything, but you're famous enough that somebody in the internet company would want to sort that out.
I say it on the radio every Wednesday and nobody's called me yet. Oh my lordy me. Anyway, and Charlton, I know, is sitting down there in the control room in LA going, oh, I know, he says it every Wednesday. All right, anyway, shall we move on? Enough about me and my internet woes. What do you got?
Yes. Well, actually, since we're talking about the internet, why don't you go first with yours?
Oh, well, oh my goodness. So this picks up on something that Molly and I were talking about the other day, which is whether, after the pandemic is done and after the election blue-ha-ha is done, whether Facebook and Twitter are going to slip back into being their own old selves, which is really just letting anything up on their site. I know that's an exaggeration, but you know what I mean. And saying, hey, whatever, let the people sort it out. And now comes in Reuters today, a recording of a meeting that Mark Zuckerberg had and all staff that he had today at Facebook, saying that former Trump White House advisor Steve Bannon had not violated enough of the company's policies to justify his suspension. The reason that's interesting, of course, is that mere days ago, Mr. Bannon, who was, of course, a senior advisor to the president of the United States, advocated the beheading of Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, and Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is the country's doctor. And so I guess that's not enough to get you banned. And I would just say that's a strike in Molly's favor, that they are going to go back to their old selves,
I just really appreciate the writing in the first paragraph of this piece from Reuters, which I am going to read just because I was like, good job. Facebook chief executive Mark Zuckerberg told an all-staff meeting on Thursday that former Trump White House advisor Steve Bannon had not violated enough of the company's policies to justify his suspension when he urged beheading two senior U.S. officials, according to a recording heard by Reuters.
It's insane. It's insane.
It's like when you put all those words together,
it's like, no. And then the piece goes on. It quotes Zuckerberg from this tape. "We have specific rules around how many times you need to violate certain policies before we will deactivate your account completely," Zuckerberg said. So I guess advocating two beheadings is not enough times. Maybe three will be?
They say third strike, you're out. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean.
Yeah. So that's my item. I do not think, and look, Molly and I have talked about this many times. I'm sure others will have their own Facebook stories. They just never learn the lesson.
Well, I mean, to get back to part of the conversation, you know, on Tuesday, it's like, what are the financial incentives? These are still businesses.
Right.
Literally, what financial incentive do they have to slow down their traffic? And, you know, sure, they're saying that they want to do the right thing, but they are businesses. Yeah. Speaking of Tuesday, again, I was really torn over topics today because one of the things we talked about on Tuesday was just sort of how damaging it would be for the transition to be delayed with the whole GSA thing. And then I listened to What Do You Know Wednesday, which also made me smarter. So thank you. And since then, there has just been a deluge of reporting about all of these other consequences of the slowdown. And it still seems that the Biden team is sort of projecting, we're going to be fine for now, but now other political leaders are starting to really freak out. You have a lot more Republicans coming out like, no, they need to be a part of the transition. They need to start getting these intelligence briefings. And a lot of academics and writers and sort of the, you know, Washington thinkers and speakers and pundits and everything. Lots of people freaking out. But a lot more Republicans now speaking up. I mean, you had Karl Rove.
Right. I know, in the Wall Street Journal
saying, like, come on, y'all. And so, like, I just, like, I get it. The legal challenges are making some people feel better in his base, in Trump's base. They're obviously a move to placate Trump. You know, I'm really torn on this, I have to decide or anything like this. But, I mean, I definitely see the damage being done. And I just wonder, is you know what, the question that I centrally have is the damage of stopping it going to be worse than the damage of letting it play out? Well, and that's what I'm still not clear of.
Let me ask you this. Are you genuinely torn or are you bending over backwards to be fair when all the evidence is on its overside, right? I mean, I understand what you and Molly were saying on Tuesday, that you want to, you know, if you can get some people of the 72.7 million people who voted for President Trump to be placated by this, then that might be a win. I would suggest that the harm to established norms of this democracy is greater than the four people who might be convinced, you know?
I agree with you, but there's something else I'm considering, which is some of the violent and dangerous language that I have been seeing and the way that that's going to be targeted and who will be the victim of that if people don't feel like this process has gone all the way through. And specifically, I mean some of these right-wing militias, the white supremacists who have really kicked up in their activities that are really talking about targeting people. And so it's not just sort of the placating the small segment of, you know, Trump supporters who are willing to be convinced. Like, yes, that's part of it, but also will this do anything to limit some of this other these other risks? But I'm happy to see more Republicans speaking up. I'm glad to see that, you know, there's a possibility that Congress will take some action, maybe the oversight committees and things like that. But it's very interesting to sort of watch this dance and watch these sort of various considerations playing out. But that I started out this whole spiel saying I was really struggling on what topic to have, but the one that's really on my mind is COVID.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's totally. It's COVID. There are so many cases, there's so much death, and it's getting worse. And this is all that I'm talking about with people now. I mean, I'm reading a lot about the transition and all the problems and things like that. But what everyone is talking about is COVID and people who thought they could go home for Thanksgiving, canceling those plans, people who are preparing for another lockdown. And the scale of it is just so bad. And APM Research Lab, which, you know, shout out to our own folks here at American Public Media, they are tracking these COVID deaths by race. And I'm trying to bring up this statistic that they had today that they put out every couple of weeks, I guess, where they talk about how many deaths are attributed to COVID in various groups. So today they tweeted out that one in every 875 Black Americans have died of COVID-19, one in 925 Indigenous Americans. And these numbers, you know, obviously they skew towards Black and Indigenous people, but they're just so bad. They're so bad. That's it. They're so bad. And I wish that people would do better. We had, you know, this week, someone on Biden's COVID-19 sort of transition task force, you know, saying that we're about to enter COVID hell and saying that they're seriously talking about a 4 to 6 week week nationwide lockdown, that may be what it takes.
But it can't come for another 8 weeks. That's the thing. Right. It's going to be 8 weeks of, and look, and this does nothing to ameliorate what you said, but it's 8 weeks of denial and lack of leadership and poor modeling behavior and all poor behavior modeling, rather, sorry. And all of the stuff that we've seen for the last, you know, since February with this thing. And so we have to get through this dark winter. As I've been saying about the economy, because there's no stimulus bill coming or relief bill coming, the economy's on its own, and so too are we with this disease.
Yeah, and the hospitals are getting overflowed everywhere. All right, we're really in the hollowed out shell space now.
Yes, Charlton, would you? All right, so I'm going to go first because mine's a quick dip into that territory that you have brought to this podcast a couple of times, as have I. I'm not sure Molly has. It's that thing that you call it a make me smile, but it doesn't really make you smile, but you have to say it anyway. So it's a thing.
Yeah.
So there was a statement from, and I didn't even know this government agency existed, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, which is an element of the Department of Homeland Security. And they are out with a statement today that says, and here's the quote in bold letters on their release, there is no evidence that any voting system deleted or lost votes, changed votes, or was in any way compromised. So this is the Department of Homeland Security, part of the Trump administration, saying no, just no. That's it. That's my thing.
This isn't the same division where everyone's rumoring that their chief is about to be ousted.
Yes, this is the rumor that the chief is a guy by the name of Christopher Krebs is about to be booted from the federal government. That is correct. This is that branch, which is a whole nother.
That
thing
is kind of
about this transition.
Yeah, all the people getting pushed out in the you know what was supposed to be the boring part of the political season, but instead it's crazy. Another version of this, though, that's also good about the election being safe and secure is voter turnout. Voter turnout was the highest that it's been, you know, even by percentage points in like 100 years or so. I mean, the level of civic engagement in this election, and I think I've said this multiple times, was just really amazing. But now I would like to talk about Santa because
I know. Good. Okay.
Yes. Love that transition.
Let's do the disclaimer here. Santa here, for anybody who's listening with children in the room, Santa is completely real.
Santa's totally
completely
real.
I've gotten yelled at too many times after I've said other things on the radio. So
I don't know what else you would say about on the radio about Santa.
That's not really an issue. Okay.
and to that end, we have some news out from Italy today that because Father Christmas, a.k.a. Santa, wears a mask and has all of these testing procedures and rules in place, he has a special permit that will allow him to travel the world despite the lockdowns happening due to COVID. And so children do not need to worry about Santa not being able to travel because of all the country and travel restrictions due to COVID. He and all of his elves are said to be safe and being careful, wearing masks, and enjoying social distancing and all the rules. So no worries, everybody.
Excellent. Excellent. That
yes.
is awesome. That is good news. Santa, who is real, has a real waiver on COVID. So that's good.
That's and good. Wears a mask. Phew. Everyone.
And wears a mask.
All right.
That's right. If Santa's doing it, you can do it.
It's not that hard, folks. All right. That is it today. Molly's going to be back tomorrow for Economics on Tap and the YouTube live stream at 6:30 p.m. Eastern and 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. In the meantime, you can subscribe to the weekly newsletter. This week, talking about, appropriately, holiday travel, the Augusta National's gross history, and also some post-election reading recommendations. You can subscribe at marketplace.org/newsletters.
It really is kind of bad. I was watching Tiger today. He's having a good day. But when you think about the history of that place, it's not great. Not great. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Tony Wagner is our digital producer. Ethan Peretz is our beloved intern. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters, like the one we just told you about, also the Make Me Smart skills on your smart devices.
Yes, today's program was engineered by Charlton Thorpe and Ben Tolliday, who I love, and Daniel Ramirez composed the theme music, and our senior producer is Donna Tam, and the executive director of On Demand is Sitara Nieves.
I saw Ben the other day. Boy, does he need a coronavirus haircut. Holy cow. Holy cow. Let me just say. It fits him. It looks good, but there's a lot of hair going on.
I have not had a haircut since 2003.
Really?
Wow. Really? I know, right?
Wow.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.